Hey, welcome back, everybody. How you doing? Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We are live in the Allstate studio on the 7th floor of the Trib Tower. We are here till 5 o'clock, as we are every weekday morning. I'm your overnight dude, 2 to 5 a.m. Steve Grzanich will have the opening bell at 5 and the great Steve Cochran to kick off your weekend Friday morning drive starting at 6. Our phone number and text number is 312-981-7200, and Fly Jams Friday's requests coming up a little bit later on, 312-981-7200. You Big Dummy coming up, straight out of context, Nick D Show Spies, and we'll find out what's happening on Outside the Loop Radio, all for your Friday morning show. 312-981-7200. Follow us on Twitter at Nick D Show and stay connected on Facebook, facebook.com/Nick D Show. So today would have been George Carlin's 80th birthday. He passed away in 2008. So I can't believe it's been 9 years since he passed away. One of the greatest comedians that ever lived, one of the greatest stand-up comics of all time, and like right near the top. I go Pryor and him are the two, Richard Pryor, George Carlin, the two greatest stand-up comedians that have ever graced a stage. Carlin was a comedy hero. He was an icon, and to celebrate his birthday today, what would have been his 80th, I thought we would talk a little bit about him and, most importantly, listen to some of his stuff. He was noted for his thoughts on politics, psychology, religion, a lot of taboo subjects, and especially the English language. He was fascinated with the English language and did some of his best routines regarding the English language. Let me start off with one of those, and we're going to just celebrate his birthday by listening to a lot of the incredible, hilarious, and brilliant things that George Carlin had to say. Talk a little bit about the highlights of his career, and if you guys want to jump in with any thoughts about George Carlin, who would have been 80 today, 312-981-7200. But let's start with George Carlin in talking about what he loves to talk about it and doing it the best, talking about language and how we speak.
For some reason, it just keeps getting worse. I'll give you an example of that. There's a condition in combat, most people know about it. It's when a fighting person's nervous system has been stressed to its absolute peak and maximum, can't take any more input. The nervous system has either snapped or is about to snap. In the First World War, that condition was called shell shock. Simple, honest, direct language. Two syllables. Shell shock. Almost sounds like the guns themselves. That was 70 years ago. Then a whole generation went by, and the Second World War came along, and the very same combat condition was called battle fatigue. Four syllables now. Takes a little longer to say. Doesn't seem to hurt as much. Fatigue is a nicer word than shock. Shell shock. Battle fatigue. Then we had the war in Korea, 1950. Madison Avenue was riding high by that time. And the very same combat condition was called operational exhaustion. Hey, we're up to 8 syllables now. And the humanity has been squeezed completely out of the phrase. It's totally sterile now. Operational exhaustion. Sounds like something that might happen to your car. Then, of course, came the war in Vietnam, which has only been over for about 16 or 17 years. And thanks to the lies and deceit surrounding that war, I guess it's no surprise that the very same condition was called post-traumatic stress disorder. Still 8 syllables, but we've added a hyphen. And the pain is completely buried under jargon. Post-traumatic stress disorder. I'll bet you if we'd have still been calling it shell shock, some of those Vietnam veterans might have gotten the attention they needed at the time. I'll bet you. But it didn't happen. And one of the reasons is because we were using that soft language, that language that takes the life out of life. And it is a function of time. It does keep getting worse. Give you another example. Sometime during my life, toilet paper became bathroom tissue. I wasn't notified of this. No one asked me if I agreed with it. It just happened. Toilet paper became bathroom tissue. Sneakers became running shoes. False teeth became dental appliances. Medicine became medication. Information became directory assistance. The dump became the landfill. Car crashes became automobile accidents. Partly cloudy became partly sunny. Motels became motor lodges. House trailers became mobile homes. Used cars became previously owned transportation. Room service became guest room dining. And constipation became occasional irregularity. When I was a little kid, if I got sick, they wanted me to go to the hospital and see the doctor. Now they want me to go to a health maintenance organization or a wellness center to consult a healthcare delivery professional. Poor people used to live in slums. Now the economically disadvantaged occupy substandard housing in the inner cities. And they're broke. They're broke. They don't have a negative cash flow position. They're broke. Because a lot of them were fired. You know, fired. Management wanted to curtail redundancies in the human resources area. So many people are no longer viable members of the workforce. Smug, greedy, well-fed white people have invented a language to conceal their sins. It's as simple as that. The CIA doesn't kill anybody anymore. They neutralize people. Or they depopulate the area. The government doesn't lie and engages in disinformation. The Pentagon actually measures nuclear radiation in something they call sunshine units.
There you go. The guy was a genius. One of the best ever. He was the best. He would have been 80 today, George Carlin, and we're just going to celebrate by listening to some of his best stuff. And speaking of stuff, that's the next one we're going to play after we take a break. He does this wonderful bit about stuff. And we'll hear that. And if you guys have any comments about George Carlin, would have been 80 today, 312-981-7200. All right. Hey, welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We are live in the Allstate studio on the seventh floor of the Trib Tower here till 5 a.m. And it is what this today would have been the 80th birthday of the great George Carlin, who did so many great things over his incredible career. Started out as kind of a straight-laced comedian, you know, in the 50s and 60s with a, you know, the tie and the short hair, no beard, and then suddenly began to find his voice, not unlike Richard Pryor, who started out doing clean material, non-political material, not even really personal material. And both of these guys kind of changed and became counterculture at around the same time they rose. And to see both of their, you know, the tracks of both of their careers is pretty amazing. George Carlin, let's see, in 2004, Carlin was placed on the Comedy Central list of the top 10 comedians of all time. The first of his 14 stand-up specials was filmed in 1977 for HBO. He was the first person to host Saturday Night Live in 1979. And made frequent appearances a bunch of times on the Johnny Carson show and on the Tonight Show. He did a bunch of movies, for those of you who don't remember. In fact, he was in Bill and Ted, both Bill and Ted movies. So he's always going to go down and have that. And he was great in everything that he did, but his strength was obviously his incredible stand-up. This is one of his classic bits. It's just called Stuff.
I would have been out here a little bit sooner, but they gave me the wrong dressing room, and I couldn't find any place to put my stuff. And I don't know how you are, but I need a place to put my stuff. So that's what I've been doing back there, just trying to find a place for my stuff. You know how important that is. That's the whole meaning of life, isn't it? Trying to find a place for your stuff. That's all your house is. Your house is just a place for your stuff. If you didn't have so much stuff, you wouldn't need a house. You could just walk around all the time. That's all your house is. It's a pile of stuff with a cover on it. You see that when you take off in an airplane and you look down and you see everybody's got a little pile of stuff. Everybody's got their own pile of stuff. And when you leave your stuff, you got to lock it up. Wouldn't want somebody to come by and take some of your stuff. They always take the good stuff. They don't bother with that crap you're saving. Ain't nobody interested in your fourth grade arithmetic papers. They're looking for the good stuff. That's all your house is. It's a place to keep your stuff while you go out and get more stuff. Now, sometimes you've got to move. You got to get a bigger house. Why? Too much stuff. You've got to move all your stuff. and maybe put some of your stuff in storage. Imagine that. There's a whole industry based on keeping an eye on your stuff. Enough about your stuff. Let's talk about other people's stuff. Did you ever notice when you go to somebody else's house, you never quite feel 100% at home? You know why? No room for your stuff. Somebody else's stuff is all over the place. And what awful stuff it is. Where did they get this stuff? And if you have to stay overnight at someone's house, you know, unexpectedly, and they give you a little room to sleep in that they don't use that often. Someone died in it 11 years ago. And they haven't moved any of his stuff. Or wherever they give you to sleep, usually right near the bed, there's a dresser, and there's never any room on the dresser for your stuff. Someone else's is on the dresser. Have you noticed that their stuff is and your is stuff? Get that off of there. Now, sometimes you go on vacation, you gotta bring some of your stuff with you. You can't bring all your stuff. Just the stuff you really like. The stuff that fits you well that month. Let's say you're gonna go to Honolulu. You're gonna go all the way to Honolulu. You gotta take two big bags of stuff. Plus your carry-on stuff, plus the stuff in your pockets. You get all the way to Honolulu and you get in your hotel room and you start to put away your stuff. That's the first thing you do in a hotel room is put away your stuff. I'll put some stuff in here, put some stuff down there. Here's another place, some stuff here. I'll put some stuff over there. You put your stuff over there. I'm putting my stuff over here. Here's another place, some stuff. Hey, we got more places than we've got stuff. We're going to have to buy more stuff.
There you go. Genius. Esmeralda, were you, when he talked about the moving, and you probably had to confront all your stuff just this past week.
Yeah, I'm trying to get rid of some of my stuff because there's too much stuff.
Too much stuff, man. Too much stuff. Dan got a bigger car because he's going to have more stuff. Right, Dan?
I mean, they're
exactly right.
People stuff, but...
George Carlin, genius, would have been 80 today. God bless him. If you want to hear some of his great stuff, his record FM and AM is amazing. Class Clown is a record that came out in 1973, which is a masterful stand-up. And it features seven words you can never say on television, which is probably one of the most, maybe his most popular bit that he's ever done, and it's gone down in history as a classic. He followed it up with a thing called Filthy Words that was on the album Occupation Fool, which was the first one that I got. Occupation Fool was the first album that I really heard Carlin on, and then went back and got FM and AM and Class Clown. He was arrested a couple of times for performing those routines and had to go to trial for some of them. But his albums were great, and then he moved on to the HBO specials. You know, he recorded a few more albums and stuff like that, but really after, you know, Occupation Fool and into the sort of the late 70s, that's when he really took over doing those stand-up specials that you would see on cable, and he was one of the earliest guys. He along with Robert Klein, were the first two guys to record what is now standard, you know, HBO comedy specials, stand-up specials. There's like four a month, you know, of different comedians that do it. Now it's a standard thing. But that was a little bit unusual, and they broke new ground doing that. And so his HBO specials really began around 1977. But he continued to record some records here and there, and then he did some movies and all that cool stuff. We're going to take a break here. We got the news coming up, and then we've got a couple of more routines I want to play. Obviously, when we come back from the news after the break, I got to play baseball versus football. It's one of the greatest comedy pieces of all time. Just beautifully crafted, wonderfully written, and, of course, flawlessly delivered about the differences between baseball and football. It's one of my favorites of all time, and we'll play that after the news. Welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We're live in the Allstate studio. Seventh floor of the Trib Tower here till 5 a.m. Straight out of context, Nick D. Show Spies, and coming up next is You Big Dummy. For our regular features, 312-981-7200 for talk and text and Fly Jams Friday requests. That's coming up, as it does every Friday. Today, May 12th, 2017, would have been George Carlin's 80th birthday, and we're celebrating his birthday just by listening to his material. He was, as we've just mentioned, one of the greatest stand-up comedians, one of the smartest guys that ever lived. And this is one of my very favorite routines that George Carlin has done. This is classic, and he delivers it so well. It's so brilliantly written. And I just love the guy, and he would have been 80 today, and we want to hear about his thoughts on baseball versus football.
I'd like to talk a little bit about baseball and football. Starting with baseball, baseball is different from any other sport in a lot of different little ways. For instance, in most sports, you score points or you score goals. In baseball, you score runs. In most sports, the ball or the object is put in play by the offensive team. In baseball, the defense puts the ball in play, and only the defensive team is allowed to touch the ball. In fact, in baseball, if an offensive player touches the ball intentionally, he's out. Also, most sports, the team is run by a coach. In baseball, the team is run by a manager. And only in baseball does the manager or the coach have to wear the same uniform the players do. Can you picture Bill Parcells in his New York Giants uniform? Now, baseball and football are different from one another in other kind of interesting ways, I think. First of all, baseball is a 19th century pastoral game. Football is a 20th century technological struggle. Baseball is played on a diamond in a park, the baseball park. Football is played on a gridiron in a stadium, sometimes called Soldier Field or War Memorial Stadium. Baseball begins in the spring, the season of new life. Football begins in the fall when everything is dying. In football, you wear a helmet.
In baseball, you wear a cap.
Football is concerned with downs. What down is it?
Baseball is concerned with ups. Who's up? Are you up? I'm not up. He's up.
In football, the specialist comes in to kick.
In baseball, the specialist comes in to relieve someone.
In football, you receive a penalty.
In baseball, you make an error. Whoops.
Football has hitting, clipping, spearing, blocking, piling on, late hitting, unnecessary roughness, and personal fouls.
Baseball has the sacrifice.
Football is played in any kind of weather. Rain, sleet, snow, hail, mud. Can't read the numbers on the field, can't read the yard markers, can't read the players' numbers. The struggle will continue.
In baseball, if it rains, we don't come out to play. Baseball has a seventh inning stretch.
Football has the 2-minute warning.
Baseball has no time limit. We don't know when it's going to end. We might have extra innings.
Football is rigidly timed and it will end even if we have to go to sudden death.
In baseball, during the game in the stands, there's kind of a picnic feeling. Emotions may run high or low, but there's not that much unpleasantness.
In football, in the stands during the game, you can be sure that at least 27 times you were perfectly capable of taking the life of a fellow human being. Preferably a stranger. And finally, the objectives of the two games are totally different. In football, the object is for the quarterback, otherwise known as the field general, to be on target with his aerial assault, riddling the defense by hitting his receivers with deadly accuracy, in spite of the blitz, even if he has to use the shotgun. With short bullet passes and long bombs, he marches his troops into enemy territory, balancing this aerial assault with a sustained ground attack which punches holes in the forward wall of the enemy's defensive line. In baseball, the object is to go home and to be safe. I hope I'll be safe at home. Safe at home.
There you go. Just brilliant. Every time I hear it, it's so masterful. Just really, just fantastic. Yeah. All right. We got time for one more little bit here. George Carlin would have been 80 today. So, you know, we're just celebrating by listening to the greatness of George Carlin, one of the greatest stand-up comedians ever. And this one is just, it's called Fart Jokes. And I figured we could close on that. George Carlin was not above fart jokes. He was incredibly intellectual, and he did very, very smart stuff, very analytical stuff. But sometimes he would just do stuff like this. So the great George Carlin, he would have been 80 today.
Hey, 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 time for a few fart jokes. Where would a comedy show be without a few fart jokes? Question. Do you ever have to fart? On a bus or an airplane or in some public place, but you hadn't been farting all that day. So you didn't really know the nature of the beast. You only knew there was lots of it. In a situation like that, what you have to do is to release a test fart. You have to arrange to release quietly and in a carefully controlled manner about 10 to 15% of the total fart in order to determine if those around you can handle it. Or if in fact you may be about to precipitate a public health emergency. When releasing a test fart, it is often good to engage in an act of subterfuge, such as reaching for a magazine. Say, is that Golf Digest? That doesn't smell too horrifying. In fact, in an odd way, it's rather pleasant. I think they ought to enjoy the rest of this baby. And it turns out to be one of those farts that would strip the varnish off a Foot Locker. A fart that could end a marriage. And everyone around you heads for the exits. Even the people on the airplane. As you realize, it is time to review your fiber intake. It might not be necessary, after all, each morning to eat an entire wicker swing set. I have no ending for this, so I take a small bow.
There you go. Oh, man. You ever heard that before, Esmeralda?
I don't think I have.
Yeah. He would sometimes, that was a bit that he would close shows with. You know, he would just be like, you know, I'll close with this. I'll close with this fart stuff. Oh, man, he was a genius. Anyway, and we're going to take some time this morning just to acknowledge and celebrate the genius of George Carlin, who would have been 80 this morning. His HBO specials are out there. They're all over the place. HBO On Demand, I know, has several of them, you know, available that you can watch. And again, his album Occupation Fool, Class Clown, and FM and AM, those three albums, those are classic stand-up albums of the 70s. And you can see him in a bunch of movies, including both Bill and Ted's, in which he's great in both of them. So, all right, anyway, happy birthday to George Carlin. He would have been 80 today. All right, we're going to break, and when we got weather and traffic, and then when we come back, it's time for You Big Dummy. Yeah, You Big Dummy. And then the regular stuff right here on a Friday morning.